It's always a joy and a privilege to open God's Word. I just sometimes wish there was a little bit more warning to it. But it's okay, because I probably would not be very good if you asked me to stand up and speak on international politics. Or, you know, if you were to ask me to say a few words about chemical engineering, I probably would fail at that. But if you say, hey, could you just speak a little bit about Jesus, then yeah, I can do that for a few minutes at least. So let's open our Bibles. Is this on? Is that working? I didn't actually change the battery, but I see there's one here. Is that working? Oh yeah. Okay, good. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 9 this morning, and I'm not exactly sure how much of this we're going to read, but I want to start at verse 27, and I want to read it to you, and I want you to let this verse sink in for just a minute, because it's a very startling verse, I think. 9:27 reads this way: I tell you the truth. Jesus says he's not lying. I tell you the truth. Oh, I see people pointing upstairs. It must mean something, like children's church. So yeah, if you're if the kids are dismissed now for children's church, what is that, up to about age 6 or 7, around in there? 8? Why is it we always forget to dismiss the kids for children's church? Why is that? Because they're being so good. All right. So 9:27. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Some who are standing here, he says, right now, to those that he's speaking to, will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. I think if I were standing in a group of people, and if I had been witness to Jesus preaching and teaching and doing miracles and such like that, and then all of a sudden he says, there's some people here right now who, before they die, are going to see the kingdom of God. I mean, my ears would just really prick up at that. You know, I think I would wonder, I don't know exactly what he means, but it sounds like a really good thing. And it just really piques my curiosity. What does he mean that some people are going to see the kingdom of God even before they taste death? And those people are here right now. And I would, of course, wonder, am I one of those people? Is one of those people going to be me? It's an interesting verse. Before we continue, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Father, I thank you for your son who not only embodies your word and is called your word, but Father, your son who is a perfect representation of yourself and is a perfect radiance of your own glory. Father, we love your son. Lord, I'm so encouraged as a worship leader to look out over this congregation as they sing, and to see the love in their eyes, and to see the way that we want to give our hearts to your son, to Jesus. And Father, I pray today that as I share for a few minutes from your word, Lord, help us to see your son even more and to know him even better. Father, help us to want to make him known in this place and around the world. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's what he says. Jesus says, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about the miracle of the transfiguration today. It's the next passage in the Bible here. And so let me read this. He says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, said what? Well, said what I just read. About 8 days after he said that there are going to be some people that are going to see the kingdom of God before they die, about 8 days later, he took Peter, John, and James, and he went up onto a mountain to pray. He went up onto a mountain to pray. Let me just say this before we continue. It feels so cliche to say this, but good things happen when we pray, folks. Good things happen when we pray. And there are so many times, especially in the book of Luke, that he takes careful time to notice those times when Jesus was in prayer. And he's an example to us in prayer. So this is a story that starts with prayer. And this is one of the, what we're going to read here in the Bible is one of the high points of the gospel. One of the high points of the gospel of Luke. I mean, except for the crucifixion and the resurrection itself, it doesn't get any better than this part of Scripture. And it starts with prayer. So it says he took some buddies, Peter, John, and James, and they went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, it doesn't say what he was praying for, but it makes me curious. But as he was praying, it says the appearance of his face changed. And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. And they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. And Peter and his companions were very sleepy. Very sleepy. It's funny how many times in the Bible we talk about prayer and then we talk about people being sleepy. They go together. I mean, I don't know if this happens to you as well, but, you know, I get ready to pray and next thing you know, I'm sleepy. What happened? It's only like 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, but I feel sleepy trying to pray. But Peter and his companions, they were very sleepy. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And so then as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, wait up, Master, it's good for us to be here. So let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. A little comment here from Luke. He did not know what he was saying. Yeah, that happens to us sometimes. You got no idea what you're saying there, buddy. But while Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. And then the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. Okay, so that's the story of the Transfiguration. It's in the other Gospels as well. It pretty much is recounted in exactly the same way. It made a huge impression, obviously, on Peter, James, and John as they were on this mountain and this happened. But if you can kind of with your imagination, with your mind's eye, just picture the scene of, you know, Jesus is praying for a while, and then all of a sudden you just kind of feel a little overwhelmed with grogginess. And so maybe you doze off for a little bit, but then all of a sudden you kind of start and you wake up, and Jesus is still praying perhaps, but now all of a sudden his face is shining and his clothes look like they're on fire with lightning. And then two other guys show up, and somehow or another Peter knows exactly who they are. It's weird. I mean, he's never met Moses and Elijah before. Maybe they're wearing name tags or something. I don't know. But he says, "Hey, look, it's Moses and Elijah with Jesus." I mean, can you imagine this scene? I have no idea what this would look like, and I'm sure that these words don't halfway do it justice. But all of a sudden, Jesus radiates light while he's been praying. And what's cool about it is I don't think the light just kind of showed up at this time. I think that it was always there, but that we just weren't really seeing it. Do you understand what I mean? Because I don't think he was shining like from the outside somehow. It was coming from within. He was shining from within. And suddenly, I don't know, I'm just speculating, but maybe he was saying, Father, would you give these sleepy buddies of mine a glimpse of who you are and who I am in you? Let them see your glory. I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm just speculating. But they certainly got a glimpse of who Jesus was here. Radiated light. And, you know, as an aside here, I think you have no idea what the light inside of you looks like either. I mean, I know that we can't see it. Nobody here's got a radiating face, and nobody's clothes looks like lightning, no matter how good you think you look. Nobody is flashing like lightning. But within us, he says, I am the light of the world. He also says, you are the light of the world. And when you give glory to God and when you are a witness for Christ in dark places, I think you have no idea how bright that shines in the world. No idea. But anyhow, so he lights up, and then verse 30, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's really easy to memorize. Two men, Moses and Elijah. What a verse, huh? There's not even a verb in it. Two men, Moses and Elijah. Memorize it. No. Two men, they're there. What are they there for? How come all of a sudden these guys are there? And it says that they're talking about his departure, which is kind of, you know, like gospel code for he's going to be dying on the cross soon. Talking about his departure, which who was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem? It was he. It was Jesus himself. About to bring that to fulfillment. Moses and Elijah, they show up with Jesus to talk with him about this. Okay, so think about that for a minute. Why would they show up? Maybe you've heard thoughts on this verse before or even heard a sermon. But why would Moses and Elijah be there speaking with Jesus at this momentous occasion of the Transfiguration, and talk with him about the upcoming crucifixion? Why Moses and Elijah? I know it's not breakouts, so nobody feels like they ought to answer me, but you can if you want. What are your thoughts? Moses and Elijah, two men. Is that a hand up? Yeah, okay. What do you think? That was really quiet. Maybe other people could shout that forward for me. What'd she say? Ah. Oh yeah, that's exactly what's going on here. They need to talk about something important with Jesus. And it's important to Jesus, but it's also really important to them. It's very important to Moses and Elijah, this upcoming departure. Moses and Elijah, many people think, are kind of a representative, if you will, of the whole Old Testament. If you can imagine this. The whole Old Testament. Moses, writer of the law. Elijah, one of the main prophets. So you got the law and the prophets. So it's almost as if you can imagine that the whole Old Testament, stay with me here, meets up with Jesus to talk about the upcoming crucifixion. And that's just such a picture of the Bible right there. Jesus getting ready to go to the cross, and the whole Old Testament says, we're with you. Amen to that. We are with you. But Peter, he doesn't understand what's going on here. He doesn't really see that. And so it's so funny, you know. So it says that the men were getting ready to leave. Moses and Elijah getting ready to take off. And Peter, Mr., hey, I've got an idea. He says, wait, this is great stuff. Why don't we keep those guys here? We'll set up a booth for all three of you, because after all, this is kind of like the This is kind of like the Jewish Hall of Fame right here. All three of you guys, this is awesome. 1, 2, 3, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Let's set up booths. This one says shelters, but he says booths and some others. It's kind of a reference to one of the Old Testament feasts. And so he says, this is good stuff. Let's keep it up, guys. Set up some little places and we'll just stay here. He did not know what he was saying. He did not know. And he did not know so much that all of a sudden the whole situation changes. Because Jesus doesn't have a chance to respond. The other disciples don't have a chance to respond. Moses and Elijah, they don't have anything to say. It's God himself. God himself shows up in a cloud. Shows up in a cloud that scares these guys. He was speaking of a cloud. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. Can you imagine? Poor Peter. He's like just getting done saying, this is good stuff, guys. And all of a sudden, there's like this massive cloud coming up behind him, enveloping him. And the other guys are like, whoa, I think you might have said something wrong, dude. That might have not been the right thing. Ah. It's a scary cloud. It's not like the fog we had this morning. This is, I don't know what it looks like. It doesn't say, but this is a scary cloud that comes around them. And all of a sudden, there's a voice that says, this is my son. That's kind of like a, what do you call it? That's a rebuke right there to Peter. Wait up here. This is my son whom I have chosen. I picked him out. This is my son. I have chosen him. And then he says something that just like rolls through the ages. Listen to him. And that's all. That's all. God shows up, scares him to death with the cloud, and gets their attention and says, this is my son. I chose him. Listen. Listen to him. And then, when the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. Alone. Jesus was all by himself. Unique, a one-of-a-kind on that mountain. There was nobody like Jesus because he was alone. The cloud left, and it's just Jesus standing there. Listen to him, God says. It's a bad idea to have a Hall of Fame and put anybody else in there with Jesus. That does not work. That does not work, guys. You cannot put anybody in a little booth next to Jesus and have him in a booth and it make any sense for a second. That doesn't make any sense. What was Peter thinking? Let's have a nice little place for each one of the three of you, and we'll just think about how awesome all three of you are, Moses and Elijah and Jesus. Moses and Elijah are great guys. And back to our illustration, the Old Testament is good stuff, but it doesn't compare to what Jesus has said. It doesn't compare. Everything we read in the Old Testament focuses forward to Christ and is interpreted by Christ, is interpreted through what he has done and what he has said. And so when he stands there on the mountain alone, I think that Peter and James and John, they kind of get a little bit of an idea of what just happened, and they're speechless. So, before God had his thing to say, Peter had all kinds of ideas, but afterwards, he's just silent. The disciples kept this to themselves, and they told no one at that time what they had seen. They talked about it a lot later, but at this time, they had to process this. That was a pretty strong rebuke. If you say something and God shows up in a big, scary cloud, you can imagine that you might be quiet for a few days after that. Just thinking about that. So I thought about maybe honoring each one of these three guys with a special shelter. And God said, bad idea. And it scared me to death. And then there was just Jesus. I tell you what, there is a moment in each one of our lives where all of a sudden it's just Jesus. He stands there alone. And you realize, I don't have hope in anything else. I don't have hope in Moses and Elijah and whoever your Moses and Elijah is. And however you've been raised and been taught for years and years, and it's like Moses and Elijah are the big guys. If you're a little Jewish boy, nobody better. But there comes a time where you realize it's just Jesus. He stands there alone. And then God says, listen to him. I tell you what, really, that's all I have to say. If you forget the rest of this sermon, just remember that. God showed up and said, listen to him. Listen to my son. Listen to what he has to say. Church, how do we do that? How do we listen to Jesus? The best way is right here. The best way is right here. I tell you what, there's all kinds of folks that look for some kind of mystical experience where Jesus tells them special secret things. These guys got a special mystical experience, and the next three little stories after this are all about disciple fail. They really are. Right after this, the next thing they do is they start arguing about, hey, which one of us is the greatest, guys? What do you think? Is it James? Is it John? Who is it? Who's the most awesome of us, guys? We're the disciples. That's like we don't even get out of chapter 9, and they're already arguing about who's the greatest. They came off the mountain, and they didn't quite process it right. It's not about some kind of experience. It's about what Jesus has said. It doesn't get any better than that. We know what he's said. Read it. I mean, the poor disciples, they come down off the mountain and they're not able to cast out demons. And Jesus says, oh, unbelieving generation, how long do I have to put up with you? They didn't quite get it. And here's a good disciple fail. They're walking along. This is verses 51 to 56. And the disciples say, look at those guys. You want us to kill them? Honestly, that's what they say. Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy these guys? And Jesus says, fail. Not my plan. You didn't get it. Fail. Listen to him. Listen to what Jesus has to say. I tell you what, this is one of the high points of not only the Gospels, but the whole Bible. Jesus reveals himself to his disciples for just a minute. He shines with the glory that he has had since before the ages. And they see it for a minute. They see it. And he told them it was going to happen. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God about? It's about Jesus. It's about his glory, the way that he shines in this world, the way that he reigns forever. One more thing, and then we'll sing. So I told you, the disciples, they weren't able to cast out this demon. And Jesus says, unbelieving generation, bring the guy here. Bring your son here. Even while the boy was coming. This is verse 42. Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit. And he healed the boy. And he gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. Once again, just imagine the scene with me, okay? Jesus had just come off the mountain. He heals this boy, casts out the demon, and all the people were amazed at the greatness of God. Like hooting and hollering. Imagine like a ticker tape parade. Woo, Jesus is awesome. This is great stuff. And so it's at that moment that he says, I need to turn to my disciples and say something special. I need to give them an opportunity to listen to me right here. And he turns to him and he says, while everyone was still marveling, the party's going on, at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen, carefully to what I am about to tell you. Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. It's not really, that's kind of like raining on my parade. You know what I mean? This is like a really great moment. We just had this fantastic whatever. And he turns around to him in the middle of the party and he says, Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. And it says, but they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they did not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it. They were afraid. They probably understood just enough to know, I don't want to know any more about this. I don't quite get it. I think I might have an idea, but I'm not going to ask him about it because I'm afraid what he'll say. I'm just a little bit nervous about what Jesus might say. That's one of the hard things about listening to Jesus, is just when you think you know what he's going to say, he says something like this. You know, again, if you can imagine the ticker tape parade, and he turns to him and he says, now listen up, I got something important to tell you guys. In my own pride, I think I'd be like, you know, I hope he says something like, you guys are going to have your own special thrones next to me in the kingdom. You guys are going to be like my favorite buddies up there. So, you know, that's what I'd be hoping for, I guess. Maybe even halfway expecting. But instead he says, pretty soon I'm going to die. And that's going to be important. And I thought you should know. It's an opportunity to listen to what the Son of Man has to say. He's going to be betrayed into the hands of men. Because that's what he came for, right? That's what he came for. The crowd here, they were marveling at this miracle that had happened. The marveling didn't last all that long. I don't know if it really made a big change in these folks. And so Jesus says, this is a good teaching moment to say, you know what? Once all the confetti falls to the ground here in a little bit, and this is all over, I'm still here, and I'm still on mission, and my plan is to go to the cross for you. He doesn't spell it all out right there. It's kind of veiled from them, but that's where he's going. And so when Jesus says these types of things to us, we need to be not afraid to listen. Not afraid to listen to what Jesus says. Because that's what the voice in the cloud said. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. Let's stand and we'll sing.